My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, this is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "This is your mother." And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed. And to fulfill the scripture perfectly, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of vinegar stood there, so putting a sponge soaked in the vinegar on the hyssop stick, they held it up to his mouth. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said, "It is accomplished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. In other parts of scripture, it is recorded how Jesus would say, as his last words, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." All throughout our Lord's life, we saw that he did not only carry out the will of his Father, but he also naturally addressed in himself to God as his Father, such that even at the very last moment of his life, and this must have infuriated the scribes and the Pharisees, not because, "Lord, you wanted to irritate them," he would never have that intention, but because he was totally consistent with this one truth, this reality, that he and the Father are one, that God was his Father. The scribes and the Pharisees were were on the verge of throwing stones at our Lord. They had picked up stones, and when our Lord had asked them, "Of which of the good works I have performed are you stoning me for?" And they said, "No. We're not stoning you for the good works," which means that they recognize the good works. "We're stoning you. We're about to stone you because you're calling God your Father." It never had occurred, although it is already in Scripture, as our Lord would say to them. Isn't it in Scripture that it says it calls God Father? But they would not have any of that. And all the more they would find themselves insulting our Lord, precisely because they could not in their world conceive how this man could call God his Father. If you, Lord, constantly called out to your Father, it was also to reveal to us that he wants to open for us this very powerful and intimate reality that we too are God's children. He was just being natural to the fact that I am really God's son. And in so being, I would call my Father, call out to him. But Jesus did not want that to be exclusively his. That is also one of the most beautiful realities he had won for us by dying for us in his love, that we too become God's children in the Son. This is the greatest gift God could ever bestow on us. Men and women, we read by an author commenting on this reality of our being God's children, we enter into the divine family as children, partakers of God's life by virtue of being his children. And this takes place through the Father's only begotten, the Word. Only He is Son. If there's a Son, it's really only our Lord. And we are God's children by adoption through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and he quotes St. John Paul II, the Church must be aware always of the dignity of divine filiation given to humanity in Christ. And this through the grace of the Holy Spirit and its destiny to grace and glory. See, it's underlining this, that the Church must be aware always of the dignity of divine filiation. If the scribes and the Pharisees were so maddened by the fact that Jesus would call himself Son and address God his Father, imagine the devil cannot stand that we address God as our Father. It angers him, it irritates him. That's why if the devil would do one last attempt to destabilize his attempts to destroy man through war, through ideologies, through materialism, through sex, through drugs, through everything you can imagine, then nothing has worked so far. I mean, yeah, some people have suffered all of that, definitely. But he says, I will just attempt to make man think in his own liberty, because that is, at least we think we're free, to decide what he thinks he is himself. And so now you see a lot of people are confused about their identity. And so, as someone was saying that, well, I think my identity is I'm a dog or a cat. And of course, when he was told, well, then I can have the will of your father for you, because your father's will doesn't say he's giving his fortune to a cat or a dog. Well, in that case, well, I think I'm back to my old self. It's all about money again. But imagine this confusion. Why? Because the devil could not take it upon himself to imagine that first, God would save us, and second, that God would make us his children. Among the things that the devil, I'm reading this book, I found very interesting, very intriguing, that the devil hates is our bodies. Hates our bodies. That's why he confuses us to idolize our body without the soul. To use our bodies the way we want to use it. For sex, for drugs, for sports, for anything in fashion, everything. You are your body. Why does he hate the body? Because from the very beginning we imagined that, well, this is just a footnote here. He could not imagine in his pride, that's the point being, how God chose to become man. You, God, will become a man and take on that nature that at the end becomes a heap of bones consumed by worms. That is what you're going to take as your form to save man. Why not an angel? Why not the spiritual reality of an angel, more powerful, more brilliant, more intelligent? Why that nature? So he rebelled. He could not take it. He could not accept it. And so when the devil sees you and me glorifying in our bodies as God intended it, he cannot take it. And added to this gift that we have been given by God is the fact that I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God. He would literally pull all his hair and his beard in anger for this beauty that he could not accept, the identity that we have been given by God. And that is why that is the battle going on. To make us forget that we are children of God. This is the greatest gift given us by our Father God that allows us to enter into a profound and mysterious intimacy with God that gives us the same capacity as Jesus to call upon God as our Father. How beautiful. When you pray, say, Our Father. Jesus did not say, when you pray, say, Father of Jesus. No, Our Father. His prayer becomes our prayer, and we become His through this prayer. Imagine. This is our supernatural identity. This is our spiritual identity. It is a gift that transforms us and allows us to have an awesome, and I say awesome, properly speaking, it can be only applied to something sacred. The awesome reality of our relationship with God, that we become His and He becomes ours. That's the relationship between Father and Son, Father and Daughter. What the Father has is belongs to the Son. What the Son is belongs to the Father. That powerful intimacy. And this gift we receive in baptism and forever marks us to be God's possession, ought to be constantly and properly nurtured and applied to our daily circumstances. One discovers in this identity a firm foundation for his spiritual ascetical life. And it is the helm that stirs him towards a mission-filled life. You say, what is my identity? What should I do in my spiritual life that will give me a clear path to follow, that North Star, a map for my spiritual life? Here it is. Divine filiation. And say, that's it. I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God. So what follows next is to live that reality and all the graces that are packed within that reality. We listen to this further commentary. He says, through love, God the Father created us to enjoy Him without measure. It is not possible for us to understand fully why He creates and loves us as if each alone walked the face of the earth. Yet this notion is central to humanity, so we know and believe the love God has for us. That's what St. John in his letter would say. Knowing and believing entail an intimate understanding born also of one's personal experience. If we can stretch our mind to glimpse God's plan, we do so only by virtue of the love God has planted in our hearts. And quoting a consideration here of Saint Jose Maria, God has come to us, wretched creatures that we are, to tell us He loves us. And how beautiful this is. In the book of Proverbs, we read, my delight is to be among the sons of men. God wants to be with us. God wants to dwell with us. No man is worthless to God. All of us are called to share in the heavenly kingdom, each with his own vocation, at home, at work, amidst civic duties, and exercising one's rights. This is the awesome reality of our divine filiation. And so we come to this point, and it's very helpful in our own specific circumstances to consider this reality calmly and deeply. Perhaps it would help us to try to constantly water a concrete moment of our day with this identity of our being God's children, as if to write a page with our Father God. So today, what will I do? What will I carry out concretely to mark a reality with my identity? And it could be something that I enjoy doing, or something that can entail more effort, a certain resistance to it, a reluctance to, say, be with this person. That can be watered by this identity. Imagine if every day we just strive to water that one reality. some telling the children that for the Lenten offering, I don't know, someone just told me that they saw it in a video that I made for the kids to give them an idea about their Lenten offering. It was like, for every Lenten offering, say they don't take sweet things or they don't watch something in YouTube for the Lent, the whole length of Lent, that merits like putting something in a piggy bank. So say for that offering, then I put 5 pesos. So in exchange, at the end of Lent, you've actually earned something so that you can use probably to buy something and offer that to buy flowers, to treat your younger sister or older brother to something. But they saw the analogy that when you sacrifice, when you offer something, you will always be able to draw out something greater from it. But here, what we are talking about is not sacrifice, it's a very positive reality. When we do things, when we engage things according to an identity. So, say, to be with someone I am not comfortable being with. A sibling, a relative, a colleague. And then you water it with this idea that I'm a daughter of God. Would it please my Father God that I strive my very best, even though I don't feel, even though contrary in my emotions are to the setting, but because it will please my Father God, I will engage it. So the reality is no longer dependent on how I feel or how I see it, but because I now transfer it, so to speak, within a plane that my Father God is watching me, loving me, converting me. So I apply that identity to that reality. That identity is transformed, or rather that reality is transformed, and I grow in my identity as God's daughter. Now, this doesn't require too much mental processing at the moment. But imagine if our actions, our words, our thoughts slowly, gradually pass through this motion, the day would always be full of meaning. Because we are, as Saint Josemaria would say, be performing these things in the presence of our Father God. I'm sure you've read this in The Way a number of times. When you want to do things well, really well, it's when you do them worse. Humble yourself before Jesus, saying to Him, "Don't you see how I do everything badly?" It's true. Sometimes that's how the day turns out to be. I make so much plans. I have things to do. I've already had things in the organizer. I'm prepared for this, for that. Then you go out of the house and the car has a flat tire. I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to be late for mass. I won't be able to make this here. And it's a disaster. So I says here, "Well, if you don't help me very much, Lord, I'll do it even worse." Then Saint Josemaria reflects in a conversation, "Take pity on your child, Lord. You see, I want to write a big page each day in the book of my life, but I'm so clumsy. And if the master doesn't guide my hand, instead of graceful strokes, my pen leaves behind blots and scrawls that can't be shown to anyone. From now on, Jesus, we will always do the writing together." A very childlike way of describing the spiritual life, but this is the truth to it. Because the opposite is to precisely do things on my own. I will do this because I know how to do it. I can do it. I've been through this before. I'll show them I can do it. But if we only, for a little while, say, "Lord, let's do this together," even that alone will bring a lot of peace to the soul. And furthermore, we are performing this before our Father. And in an almost mystical way, all the things we do and we ourselves are then intertwined. We are doing things in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why, again, taking from the words of Saint Jose Maria, he says, we have been created to take part in the intimacy of the Holy Trinity. We are here on earth to enter into communion with God Himself. Jesus has promised us not a life of ease or worldly achievement, but the house of His Father God, which awaits us at the end of the way. Sometimes how easy it is to forget. Not only sometimes, very often we do forget this. Take a look of what Saint Jose Maria says, that this reality of divine filiation, that we are God's children, how it affects the magnitude of the reality itself and what it covers. He says, for the apostolate, no rock is more firm than divine filiation. You want to do your apostolate? Build it on divine filiation. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Therefore, don't be afraid, because you're doing it for God. You're helping other people to get closer to God. He says, for our work, no source of serenity than divine filiation. For family life, no better prescription. Thus, life is made pleasant to others than through the consideration of our divine filiation. For our errors, even when we touch our own wretchedness, there is no greater consolation or ease. If one really wishes to seek forgiveness and to rectify, then our divine filiation. So it's like a cure-all, but it's not just to fix things. It's an identity that we bear that will allow God's presence to be so patent, so real, where we are. And we cannot imagine what this identity can truly open for us and lead us to a new Mediterranean and inner spiritual life. And as we said, very often it's sad, very unfortunate that many people today lack identity. And so they would rather put their identity on their career, on their achievements, on money, on experience. But sadly, as Pope Francis puts it, they are just photocopies of the people they see around. Actually, that's what's happening today. We're just copycats of what we see. And we just try to see if we can do it better than what we originally saw. And I was just watching this, sometimes it just pops out, and curiosity doesn't always kill the cat, but it talks about how YouTube itself has turned around a family simply because a father posted what he videoed 15 years ago of his son coming from the dentist. I'm sure probably you've seen this video yourself. I think the son was still groggy after the procedure. So when the dad saw that, he says, oh, wow, this is really something to catch on camera. And so he videoed the son who was like groggy there. And when the son saw him, he says, is this real life? And groggy and a bit like that. And of course, the son like screams his head off because of what he was going through. But it was very, very comic. Anyway, he thought of it as a wonderful remembrance of his son. But it occurred to him to post it in YouTube. Then there are 10,000 likes. Then before you know it, 100,000. Then before you know it, 4 million. And when that economic crisis hit the US, they were fortunate because of the likes in YouTube. Yeah, they were able to earn. And somehow it got them through that rough moment. It doesn't always happen. Perhaps a greater part of humanity are simply entertained without getting that benefit. Or perhaps there are those who are lost in their identity. And that's what Pope Francis said. We end up not discovering our true identity, and we end up as photocopies of the people we see there. I wish I could be like this or be like that. But not who you are really. The source, the root of our identity is being God's children. Outside of that identity, we can imagine all the other personal, psychological, emotional crises that can happen. And in the faith, it has even led many young people to call themselves nuns. I don't want to believe in anything. I'm a nun. Anything. I mean, I don't want to be Catholic or Buddhist. There's no point in believing, except the reality that I have before me. Let us ask the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to go back to this very tender invitation of our Lord, when you pray, say, Our Father. Let's allow grace to forge this reality in us, because it is through this identity that we touch Christ, that we touch God through the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And striving to imitate Jesus, He was the perfect Son, and we want to be better each time, daughters, sons of God. And how is this? Dealing with Jesus, above all, receiving Him in the Eucharist. It occurred to me recently when preparing the little girls for First Holy Communion to help them realize that what they receive is not ordinary food. So I said, when you are about to eat your French fries, do you talk to the fry? You look at the fry and say, hello, fry, good morning, I'm about to eat you. Probably that can happen in a cartoon or comic film, but you never talk to your food. Never talk to that slice of steak, of chicken, as if before eating it, you'd be thanking the chicken. You don't even know who the chicken was. The chicken has no identity there. It's just food. But when we are placed with God in front of us and we are told the body of Christ, that is a reality you can talk to and talk with. Lord, how do you want me to receive you? Lord, how much do you love me? And then when I was explaining to the girls why they were going to receive by the mouth, I say, because that also underlines that we are not receiving ordinary food. Because normally when we eat, we serve ourselves. You take the spoon, the fork, you cut your food, and you eat. That's how we eat. That's how we survive. But when you refer to the relationship between God and man without God is nothing. He depends on God totally. That's why this is so graphic when on wedding days, there's a part, I don't know, I mean, I haven't been to the wedding reception for the longest time, but the bride and the groom cut the cake. And they don't feed themselves. They cut the cake and they start eating on their own. They serve one another the cake. As if to say, I depend on you to live. See? I need you to feed me. Because if you don't feed me, I will not live. So I will feed on your love as you will feed on my love for you. That's why that's the gesture we think, oh, how nice, how cute. But it has a deeper meaning. It's like now we're one body. We depend on each other. And that's also what is signified when we receive and say, Lord, you are my God, you are my Creator, you are my Father. And to show my total dependency on you, I cannot. I don't have the strength to feed myself. You feed me, the body of Christ. And we say, Amen. That's the beauty of all of these. They're not symbolic. They're also a manifestation of our faith, of our love in Jesus in the Eucharist. And this is what will help us to truly become like Christ. And in becoming like Christ, forge our identity as God's children. It becomes a true source, a strong source of joy, of peace, of daring in our prayer and sacrifice, and the zeal to help the other children of God. Of course, we long to always forge its identity because obviously it also points to the final destination we are going to. For one who has lived his or her life as God's daughter or son, Saint Jose Maria would say, death will then be a homecoming, a return to the family home, where God our Father awaits us. Filiation leads us to this our heaven. How marvelous to hear our Father say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful over a few things, I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Let us go to our Blessed Mother. Is another way to strengthen this beautiful identity of our being God's children by going to our Mother. We close with this point from the Way that says, "Say to her, Mother, my Mother, yours, because you are hers on many counts, may your love bind me to your Son's cross. May I not lack the faith, nor the courage, nor the daring to carry out the will of our Jesus. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.